Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
I'm really excited about preaching this morning. There's sometimes you come to preach because that's what you have to do, you know? It's what you're called to do. But sometimes you come because God's put something in you. I've had one of those weeks. I want to kind of throw the men's group under the bus a little bit. You know, as what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. That's kind of our rules of the men's group. But Monday night men's group was interesting. It was college football night. And so my plan was to be faithful and show up and get out. That was my goal. Be faithful. Talk to a few guys. Prove I'm faithful and leave. Well, the problem was the discussion went a direction. And I don't know. John said something about, you know, the Holy Spirit and how he talks with God and how every morning, you know, he gets up and puts the armor of God on. And I'm like, and I'm being the smart aleck I am. I'm like, oh, why'd you ever take it off? And it's like I hit him in the head with a 2x4. And I realized that we do religious things sometimes out of ignorance. His expression, it was funny. I'm like, wow, I got one. You know, whack, knocked him upside the head. And we were talking about a book. We were talking about all these things. And we got into a discussion about how we hear God. Now, I don't know, Elder Gary, right? You love me? Gary is a Gary has an anointing from God to provoke people. And he was on point. The problem was that nobody realized how much he was provoking me because I had it on the inside of me. We actually did not disagree. We just couldn't communicate. And we were talking about, my relationship with the Lord is I hear God the Father say certain things to me. I hear God the Son, Jesus, talk to me. And then I do hear the Holy Spirit. But Gary got on his soapbox about we don't respect the Holy Spirit. We talk about Jesus. We talk about this. And it's the Holy Spirit. And technically, he's 100% right. And I technically agree with him. But if he was as smart as me... Okay, I'm talking to you about on the inside of me, because that's the thought. If Gary was as smart as me, he'd understand what I'm saying. That's pride, and I didn't say it. I only thought it. See, this I'm giving a plug for the men, because, see, iron sharpens iron, and sometimes there's sparks. And if you're a pansy, don't come. Because you'll go, you guys are mean. Yeah, well, you won't get sharp. That will stab you. You know, and there's some people rooting for the wrong football team, and you got to get over that. What am I getting at? Gary was pushing the fact that we do not give proper respect to the Holy Spirit in our relationship.
Yes.
You be quiet. But here, let me tell you what happened. This was an inward thing for me, and God was dealing with me. And so I scurried home, and halfway through the first quarter, I figured this is going to be a great game. And by the way, I was rooting for Clemson, and I lost the bet. And God wanted to talk about why I was irritated with Gary. And I thought, well, we're in agreement because you're irritated with him too, right, God? Because, you know, me and God always agree. And I found out really quickly he was not irritated with Gary. He was actually irritated with me.
Yes.
Here's what here's the point that got my attention. Because Gary was saying that we don't give the Holy Spirit as much credit as we should. And I really don't disagree with that. But I have developed my own habits that makes me sound that I do. So here's what he said to me. He says, listen, if you would listen to what Gary's trying to tell you, you will find that this is the seedbed that the devil has used to hook the church with an antichrist spirit.
Yes.
When he said that to me, I went, holy moly. When we don't respect or honor the Holy Spirit at the level of who he really is, we leave a door open for the antichrist spirit to come into our life and destroy who Christ is in us.
Yes.
So this is that was Monday night, and it ruined my whole week, by the way. Thank you, Gary. I want to share something with you. This is the original Bible I bought in 1993. I could not read. I read at a third grade level, and the Holy Spirit was introduced to me by Jesus in a vision, and he says, let me introduce you to the Holy Spirit. He's a teacher.
Yeah.
And I said something really simple. Can you teach me to read? And he said, give me an hour every morning. Address the Holy Spirit as the teacher and become a student, and he'll teach you. Yeah. Within 6 months, the Holy Spirit taught me how to read. But one of the greatest encounters, if you could see, you see these marks. We were on vacation in North Carolina in 1994. And the Holy Spirit says, I want to show you something in Scripture about the Trinity and you. And I took a highlight. I underlined Jesus. I circled the Father. I highlighted me. And I just separated these voices, which is the Trinity, and how it affects me. This is 1994. I was so religious and needy, I carried this Bible every place I went. I never left the house without my Bible. Then I got mature. Didn't need it, because I had enough in me. But this week, I want to share something with you. I have a very expensive Bible program. Over the years, a new program comes. I probably got $3,000 or $3,500 into this. But I got so much wisdom that I can't access because I don't know how to do it. But this is the baddest Bible program that you've ever had in your life. And this week, last week, they had another update, another $175. And the only thing I got out of it was this symbols, I can highlight specific words with different symbols. And so when Gary torqued me a little bit, I saw, wow, this I could do the same thing I did in 94. And I started separating the voice of the Father through the voice of the Son and highlighting the Holy Ghost. And I feel like I'm alive again. I feel like I found my first love again. I feel like I'm going to close the door for the enemy to not be able to give me an antichrist spirit philosophy. I said all that to say this. The word Christ is the word anointed. It's the same word that we get in the Greek for the Messiah. Matthew chapter 1, verse 16. I think we're going to do, yes, we are. And Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. Listen, when we understand these basic principles, the devil could care less if you give your heart to Jesus. He's afraid if you give your heart to Jesus Christ. Because if you just give your heart to Jesus, you're, okay, I'm saved, and I feel good. But if the Christ, the anointed one, shows up, you actually leave sin.
Yeah.
If the anointed one actually comes up, the Christ within you will change you and give you a purpose. See, I'm telling you what, you want to make religious people mad? Talk about power. Talk about casting devils out of people.
Yeah.
Oh, the religious. You'll find out who's religious and who's not. Yeah. Just tell them you got a little go-go juice in your hands, and you'll see what it is. Last week, we were in business, and we're sitting there, and this lady, not really churchy, she looks at me, and she goes, do you read palms? I'm like, yeah, give me here. So I went like this, and I gave her a word. I don't care what you call it. You touch me, you're touching Jesus. And we got to get over the religiousness of this thing. So look, who is called the Christ? See, the word Christ is anointed. The Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah. Anointed in the Greek, translate Hebrew word for Messiah. The official title of our Lord acquiring has mentioned 514 times in the New Testament. It denotes that he was anointed and consecrated for his great redemptive work as a prophet, as a priest, and a king. Who lives in you?
Oh, I got Jesus in my heart.
Really? You should figure out what he is.
The little Jesus in your heart is a prophet, he's a priest, and he's a king. Why don't you act like it?
See, this, I'll tell you what this is. This is football day today. We're going to have the Kansas City Chiefs kick the snot out of the Titans. I'll tell you why. Because the quarterback for the Titans used to play for the Dolphins, and he stunk. And now I'm mad that he's playing for the Titans. If he does good, I'm rebuking my Dolphin membership. It's a little personal here. Yeah. Just like the church, tradition is real hard to give up. Perfect setup. Thank you.
Aye, sir. I love the Dolphins because my daddy did.
Well, your daddy had a bad team back then, too. Anyway, what am I getting at? The Super Bowl is going to be, what, 2 weeks from now? For the next 2 weeks, these coaches and the Super Bowl team are going to go back to the basics. They're going to learn how to run, block, pass, kick, tackle. They're going to work on that. They're going to have a couple little trick plays, and they're going to continue to do what they've been doing. Listen, we're going back to the basics. Right. Who is Jesus to you? Is he the Christ, or is he just a salvation figure? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is Luke 14, 18 through 20. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives, recover the sight to the blind, and set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is Jesus has come to the point where he's about to emerge into his public ministry, and he says, the anointing is upon me. How many are anointed here? I don't believe you. According to the scripture, I don't believe you. Let that sink in. You're never anointed without a purpose. And I don't see a lot of people walking around with their purpose.
That was good. I'm sorry.
All of a sudden, walking with Jesus became fun in the last 2 weeks. Why? Because I can touch the hand that someone wants me to read their palm, and I actually tell them about the things of their heart. The reality of the Old Testament said, if the leper touched me, I was unclean. I'm not of the Old Testament. You leper touch me, you'll be clean. That's the Christ that lives on the inside of me. Listen, I am anointed, and I'm starting to find my purpose. You kind of realize I have somebody that I gave an assignment this morning to, is to do some biblical research on the religion of Judaism. If you guys have been around me, a couple years ago, I started talking about between Malachi and Matthew is where Judaism was birthed. You don't find Pharisees and Sadducees in the Old Testament. This was a religion born in what we call we say the Dark Ages. God didn't speak. The Catholics actually say we got some letters that God was talking, but he wasn't real plain about it. That's when religion took over. Jesus walked the earth. He fought religion. The Old Testament has 217 or 251. She's going to give me those numbers of laws. But then Judaism had 600 and something. That's what religion does. It restricts, it binds, it comes. Out of the 600 was 114 or 115 against women.
Yes.
I'm telling you, when we find the real Christ, the body of Christ will actually find the liberty and the freedom that Jesus says in Luke 4, I came, I'm anointed, to break the bonds.
Right.
to break the chains and set the people free. It's about time that the women get free from the religiousness of overbearing men. Anyway, here's the problem. In the Old Testament, which was under the curse, women could be prophets, women could be judges, women could be queens over nations, and we get Jesus goes to the cross, we get the church, and now women have to shut up in the church. What happened? Religion took over. Don't tell me that the Christ that was murdered, crucified, raised again, did not release that also. And I'm telling you, we're going to find out what the Christ has given us, and we're going to start living it. But listen, Matthew 1:18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Listen, this understanding that the Holy Spirit impregnated a little virgin in a culture that she was labeled. When you figure out you're carrying the Christ, the anointed one, and your culture calls you a prostitute, a whore, unclean woman, who do you think? You've heard my last messages. Jesus was born in a really messed up family. Can you imagine who Mary's friends were? And you wonder why the anointed one gets anointed to set the captive free. He goes to the most oppressed people group of his day, and it's women. I think it's just like a funny God with a big, funny sense of humor going, I know, yeah, I know that prostitute is crying on Jesus' feet and washing it with his hair. Isn't that great? And all the religious people are going, if he was really a prophet, he'd know who she is. He probably knew she was because she hung around his mother because of the religious culture of the day. Matthew 2:4. The assembly of all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. Everybody knew there was an anointed one coming. They wanted to see if it lined up with their scriptures. Matthew 11:2. Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent word by his disciples. Let me tell you something. I believe God's about to anoint his people across the board. How many have Christ in them? Yes. Then you're a candidate to be anointed. Yes. The problem is can you handle everybody getting mad at you because you started to cast their devil out? Or heal cancer, or heal somebody that the church says, oh, that went away. No, that went away because you didn't have power. Because you don't have power, you come up with a system that says, I can't have power. But I'm telling you, scripture says I'm supposed to have power. Why? Because the Christ lives in me. The anointed one lives in me. Mark 8:29. He asked him, but who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ. Listen, his disciples had figured out. They walked with him for 3 years. You are the Christ. Matthew 16:20. Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. Here's why. Luke 4:41. And demons also came out of many, crying, you are the Son of God. But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. There was this culture that he knew that if he manifested his Christness, his power side, that the demons would abort the plan. Power will make you make choices. And you're either going to serve Jesus, the sweet baby in the manger that got born, or you're going to serve the anointed one. What Jesus do you have on the inside of you? Matthew 27:22, Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ? After all is said, let him be crucified." Listen, religion will crucify Jesus, the Christ. And if you think that you're going to escape some religious attack, bucken up. Because the religious people do not want you to have power. Because if you wind up with the power of Christ, then you won't need us. Oh, if you find freedom, you may not come pay your tithes. I'm here to tell you, when he sets you free, tithing will be your smallest problem. Giving will be your smallest problem. Listen, I got so free from God, I gave everything away. Then he had to teach me, hey, listen, don't give everything away. You know, you can't give, you know, you got to manage this properly. Why? Generosity is a sign that you're free. Yep. See, when you can't be generous, you start hoarding. When you can't be generous, you think that God's not enough. But there's a balance in all that. I mean, my wife's going, oh, Lord, I remember those days. You can't outgive God. Yes, you can. It's called obedience. I used to give money trying to buy a miracle because I wasn't a good steward. Finally got an amen out of her. She's amen to me now. Mark 9:41. How we doing? We're doing good up there. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ, the anointed one, will by no means lose his reward. So do you want to be rewarded by God? Find out who the Christ is in you. Find out the anointing on you and function through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Here's the bottom line. You will not be empowered and anointed like Christ without embracing the Holy Spirit. That's how all this whole thing started. Luke 22:67. If you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, you won't believe. Jesus, if I tell you, you won't believe. Why? Because you have all the prophets and all the math adds up. You know it is, but you still wanted, you wouldn't believe me if I told you. Luke 23:35, the people stood by watching, but the rulers scoffed at him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. Listen, you're gonna have to take a risk and let people say, if you really are a prophet, tell me something. Let me tell you something. I've been challenged this last couple of weeks. It's amazing how good my gift works when I've been pressured. You read palms? Yeah, I do. Their heart opens up. And then they say something like, oh my God, you have a gift. What are you doing selling light fixtures? All right, paying the bills. Because some people don't tithe. I'm hiding until it's time for my exposure. Until I have enough character to take the insult of the religious. How many were around when we had John Crowder come? God set us up with a crazy man. And I know God said invite him. Do you realize we had people picketing, putting flyers, calling him a false prophet? This guy flows in power. He flows in revelation. And he will blow up your church structure. It happened. But you know what? It's good. Because if somebody can come with their anointing and blow up what you think is God, and you find out what you had wasn't God, you'll make changes. Right. People say, man, that wasn't very good. You did that. Let me tell you something. My wife got set free when he got here. My wife started writing checks that I had to cash. Her and my grandson sat over there and belly laughed. She didn't even want to go to church until then. She got free from him. And I took pressure from, I had pastors call me. I had people, oh, I can't believe you didn't do that. Man. I don't care. My wife got free. My grandson came and laughed in church without me being funny.
So, you know, sometimes God will invite you. You'll invite somebody that is anointed to expose your religion. Oh, yes.
That can't be God. Why? Because he's happy. John 20:31. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. All these scriptures, there's 514 in the New Testament that says Jesus Christ. I'm challenging you. Do you just know Jesus, or have you let the Christ rule you? See, when we just put Jesus, that makes us feel so warm and fuzzy. Oh, he was as human as I was. He was married to the same kind of woman. No, he wasn't. He was smart. He didn't get married. So he doesn't understand my infirmities. I've been married 40 years. I have scars. But see, the human side, I'm trying to be funny because she's laughing back there. Anyway, the human side of Jesus makes us feel warm and fuzzy. And he embraces that human side of us. But that's not all he brings to the table. My thing is, are you engaging in the supernatural side of Jesus? The Christ that finished the work and lives on the inside of you and says, you can do greater things than I did. Amen. So let's go to John 15, verse 26. Now, Jesus has been walking with his disciples for 3 years. He's preparing for his exit strategy. Okay? How many have made statements that I wish I would have been back when Jesus was walking the earth that I could walk with him? How many made that statement? I wish I could have walked with Jesus. Okay, I'm the only crazy person in this room. Two of us. I mean, is it a desire that you want to walk when Jesus walked on the earth? Right? I really started studying this, and I came to the conclusion I would have rejected him because I'm too religious. Jesus hung around prostitutes. You know what Susie told me one day? Try it, bug boy. Just remember, he wasn't married. So don't pull that one, Chucky. Listen, this is good. This is good to me. And I got a very short window to finish this. John 15:26. But when he, the helper, comes, who I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. There's the helper, there's Jesus, and there's the Father. But what Jesus is saying, me and the Father have kind of done all we're going to do now. But if you'll wait, the Holy Spirit, I'm sending because the Father said I could, and he's going to empower you. Yes, you understand? This is what he's saying. Who proceeds from, he will bear witness about me, and you will also bear witness because you have been with me from the beginning. Yes. 16:1. I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. I'm telling you, if you do not embrace the anointed, the Christ side, the empowerment side of Jesus, you have a tendency to fall away. And he's given you the antidote, and it's the Holy Ghost. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think that they're offering service to God. See, this means a little bit to me. 25 years ago, I got kicked out of a church in New York just because I prophesied what God told me to prophesy. Here's the problem. It was an accurate prophecy. I prophesied that people would die in leadership. I prophesied that marriages would dissolve and the church wouldn't exist. All of those things happened. Except I was too immature to say, God bless you, and not defend myself. Roddy and I have a meeting with that same leader and his elders in 2 weeks to try to recover the damage that happened 25 years ago. Oh, the other month. They will put you out of the synagogue. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think that he is offering service to God. Verse 3. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you, that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you these things. Do you understand the enemy and the spirit of religion has an hour that God allows them to manifest? I told you these so you would remember it. Well, I don't want to remember it. I don't want to be accused. I don't want to be battered around. I don't want to be mocked. Too bad you signed up. How are you going to handle it? I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. And none of you asked me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. He's talking to his disciples that he walked with for 3 years. What he's saying is, I didn't share this stuff with you for 3 years because I was with you. But I'm getting ready to leave. And when I leave, he's coming. What Gary and I were debating over, or discussing over, was that we don't give the Holy Spirit enough first rights. And here in Scripture, Jesus is saying, I couldn't even share with you some things, but when I'm gone, he will. Verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come. Listen, Jesus is saying, if I don't go, the helper's not coming. When Gary was saying, listen, we keep propping Jesus up and we don't even respond to the Holy Ghost, to the Holy Spirit, to the anointed part of Christ. Jesus is Jesus until the anointing comes on him.
That's right.
I love Jesus, but Jesus is just Jesus until the anointing comes on him. See, the anointing, the power, the Messiah title that he took is the power side that I need to convert me from my fearful, sinful nature. And that empowerment is embraced and received by the Holy Ghost.
Right. Yes, it is. Amen. Glory. Yes.
Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage. How many want an advantage?
Yes.
I'm telling you. When I got home and the Lord says, Gary's pushing a narrative that you don't disagree with. And they are the very basics of everything you've done, Charlie, but you're not communicating that to the people around you. When I was introduced to the Holy Spirit, I found who Christ was. When I received the Holy Spirit, I found out through that anointing of them, I found out who Jesus was, and I got introduced to the Father. I've been sitting here as your pastor many, many years talking about the Father-Son paradigm. Are you so sick of hearing that?
That's all I get. The Father's. Listen, it started with the Holy Ghost introducing me to Christ, who introduced me to the Father. They are one, but we're going back to the basics. This is Super Bowl time. We're going to learn how to run, catch, tackle, and make touchdowns. Basics. And if we ignore the Holy Spirit and His power and His job, then the Christ that we've been given will have very little effect on you. Here's what He says. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, here's what it is. When He comes, He will convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment.
Yes.
Who's going to do it? The anointed Christ in you.
Yes. Yes.
Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. You haven't introduced Jesus right.
Yes. Preach.
We've introduced baby Jesus in the manger. Hey, brother, would you like to get saved? Come on down to the altar of this little church over here. You kneel down. Do you kneel down and give your life to Jesus? We're going to baptize you in a couple days. It might work, okay? That's our formula. When God says, listen, go lay hands on him, cast the devil at him, and he'll understand power. And so all of a sudden, his 25 years of trying to serve God, find God, went, oh, gosh, I got him. See, it's time to quit getting saved and start receiving transformation. You're saved. You can get back up.
Yeah.
Go put your armor back on. There was a lot of love there. So the Holy Spirit, once we receive the anointed Christ, listen, I've had a couple things in the last couple weeks. There's something new that's on me again. It's about time. It's for like I'm saved again. I walk into a room, I hand out three business cards, and the guy goes, oh, really? Is this all? And I said, no, I have a couple more, and I throw a ministry card and a church card.
Uh-huh.
So I lay out five cards. I said, that's fivefold.
Uh-huh.
The guy that looked at me, and I'm like, you understand that, don't you? Yeah, I do. Forty-five-minute meeting. The guy's like, "Man, you're a pretty interesting guy." Why? We just talked about light fixtures.
Uh-huh.
No, something got on him.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because I took over the atmosphere.
Uh-huh.
Why? Because it's not only the Christ in me; it's the Christ on me.
Yes, yes.
I'm telling you, this thing's starting to get fun. Because if I'm carrying the Christ, he comes to convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. Concerning sin, verse 9, because they do not believe in me. The reason most people don't believe in Jesus, they've only met the Jesus that was in a manger. They never met the power-changing Christ. Because I go to the Father, and you will see me no longer. Concerning righteousness. Who is the righteousness of Christ? Oh, really? I've seen you, Ann. You don't act righteous sometimes. Why? Because of revelation. If you come to the revelation that the empowering Christ lives in me and I am the righteousness of Christ. Listen, I'm going to go back to me. I did some things wrong one time and the Lord says, I really don't like your behavior. By the way, you're not walking in righteousness. Your behavior is not manifesting righteousness and you're the righteousness of Christ. In other words, I wasn't tapping into the source. I wasn't tapping into the source. If I'm the righteousness of God, through Christ Jesus, my behavior changes. That behavior may not be a sin, Charlie, but it's not righteous behavior. It's not an attractant. Because righteousness becomes an attractant that people want to know God. And some of you got just a sourpuss, and who wants your Jesus? Give your life to Jesus. You can be like me and my wife. What the heck? Who wants that? No comment, Susan. Verse 10, concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you see me no longer. Verse 11, concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. Everybody's waiting for Jesus to come off of his throne, come in a big old white horse with a trumpet to judge the world. Why are you waiting on that when he said we're supposed to if we carry him?
All Right.
There you go.
I'm
16:12. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, it will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. Hear from who? Hear from Jesus, hear from the Father, and he'll come into agreement. He'll empower you to be just like God. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Who will? Yes. Who will take what? Who's talking? Jesus is talking. Who's he talking to? You. Here's what he's saying. He, the Holy Spirit, will take what is mine and declare it to you.
Yes.
So we keep trying to bypass the Holy Ghost and get it straight from Jesus, you thief. Why? Because we don't want to embrace the Holy Spirit. Why? Because if we really embrace the Holy Spirit, he may yield something in your own heart.
Amen.
The other night when Gary twerked me around a little bit, I saw pride come. Now, I didn't yield to it. A few years ago, I might have. And then I would have wounded a friend. I didn't yield to it. I saw it. I pushed it back down. I said, God, that's not part of me. Gary wasn't being aggressive with me. We actually agree. He just doesn't know how to talk. I'm letting you into the men's group. It wasn't pride. It was a question. Okay, why is he irritating me? Why is Gary irritating me? Because that's what Gary does. He's an anointed provoker. When he can't figure it out himself, he'll push it around until he figures it out. Okay, but see, here's the thing is, I know he loves me, and I also know he trusts me. Let me give you a little history. Gary came from a very abusive relationship with a pastor that you didn't question or question. He would rip your head off. Is that right? Well, he's over that. That boy got delivered. He questions when I know I'm right. Just kidding. But this is what the body of Christ has got to come into and figure out that you know in part, you only have a part, and it may irritate you until you get the other part. And the Lord was saying to me, listen, I'm about to show you how the anointed, the Christ in you, is about to take over.
Yes.
You've been living off Jesus long enough.
Amen.
Can I say that to the religious people?
Yes.
You've been living off Jesus long enough. You've been hiding behind Jesus. That was good, wasn't it? You got my back because I feel daggers. We've been hiding behind Jesus instead of becoming the anointed Christ one sent.
Yes. Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Chew-ha.
Yes.
All, verse 15, all that the Father has is mine. Jesus is talking. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Who will? Listen, so the adjustment I got from Monday night, besides Clemson losing to Alabama, can you believe Alabama made Clemson?
Yeah.
LSU. Oh, LSU. See, maybe I was rooting for the wrong team. I just wanted Clemson to win. You want to hear my religiousness?
Yeah.
The quarterback for Clemson quoted a Bible verse on an interview, and I've liked him ever since. That's just plain religiousness. He is a good quarterback. Anyway, where was I? I think the tune-up that I got, the correction, the adjustment, was I've always gone after the Father. That's been my message and my and focus. And it's not wrong. My message hasn't been wrong. My encounters with Jesus hasn't been wrong. But as I've come to maturity now, I'm responsible. Like, how can I help you not take 20 years like it took me?
Do you want to take as long as it took me to get some of the stuff I got? You're foolish. Just listen. It's the Holy Spirit that has been given the assignment to take what the Father has and what the Son has and deliver it to you. And it's the simplicity that I feel like the last 3 or 4 mornings, I've gone back to my roots. Holy Spirit, you're the teacher. Thank you for showing up this morning. I'm the student. What do you have to say? You want a good report card today, Charlie? Yeah. That wasn't pride when you thought about that with Gary.
Yes.
You've overcome that.
Yes.
Do you know what it does to that little boy on the inside of you to hear the Holy Spirit say, "We're proud of you"? That's what God was doing with Michael today. Maybe it took him doing it to me first, for me to find out that there's something in him that the Father is proud of. The Holy Spirit is our vehicle on earth. Let's go to John chapter 20. I'm almost done, I swear. I shouldn't swear in church. So what is he was teaching us in John 15? I gave you all this stuff. It's better if I go so he can come. What's the advantage? I mean, come on. We're talking about Jesus. It's better for you to go and have the Holy Spirit come. Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, you can't do greater works than Jesus did. You ain't been here that long to start playing in church, Ron. Stop it. At least he's here. Okay. John chapter 20, verse 19. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." What is the scenario? Jesus finished what he told them in John 15. It's better that I leave. The problem is he didn't get in his pink Cadillac and leave. They crucified him and he left. He crucified, he's laid in the grave for 3 days, and a woman preacher found him. And then he comes into the fullness of his Christ. See, Jesus, listen, there's something that I've been doing a lot of studying, and I'm realizing I don't know nothing. Things that I thought I knew, I had filtered through my own religion. And I'm reading scripture again, fresh. And I'm finding things. So Jesus gets crucified, raises again. Do you realize that he would not let Mary touch him? He said, "Don't touch me." Really, what? If you read the scriptures, "Don't touch me. I haven't gone to the Father yet."
Yes.
Why? Because he took away the sins of the world, and he had to go where sin started in rebellion in heaven with the devil. Amen. So he had to go cleanse heaven where sin started. Because he eradicated sin all the way back to its root. So when you receive Christ, your sin nature is gone all the way back to the root. You're no longer a sinner, you're a saint.
Yes.
To the root.
Yeah. Amen.
To the root. So he comes back, and he's got a bunch of knucklehead disciples that are hiding in a room.
Yeah.
Afraid. And he walks in and goes, "Peace, be still." There was not sweet baby Jesus with, you know, a couple hundred pounds of flesh. All man, all God, whoosh, comes into the room. "Peace be with you." Verse 20, when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his... Did I just mess that up? He showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad that they saw Jesus. Listen, he says, listen, this is me. Look at my hands. Look at my side. Look at the wounding that I went through. In other words, he said, that flesh thing that I've been walking with you for 3 years, that side of me is gone. This is the fullness of the Godhead again. 21. Jesus said to them, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I'm sending you. The sending thing is all over Jesus all the time. Verse 22. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. This is the thing he said. This is what's coming. If I leave, he'll come. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Then he said, if you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld.
Yes.
Yes. He just gave me, by receiving the Holy Spirit, the same empowerment he had as he walked on earth. How many times did Jesus say, and your sins are forgiven, and your sins are forgiven, and your sins are forgiven? Hey, your sins are forgiven. Unless I choose to be religious and tell you no. Because you're gay, you're black, you're mean, you're white. I don't care. Religion will always find an excuse to hold somebody in contempt of court. But that's not the Christ. That's not the anointed Christ. That, my friend, is the fulfillment that we will do greater things than him. So first and foremost, if you have the ability to forgive people of their sins, have you forgiven yourself of your own sins? The ones you hold yourself accountable for. See that original scripture in Luke 4:18, it says he sets the captive free. If you really break that down, it says the captive and the prisoner. If you break that down into the Hebrew or to the Greek, what is he saying? He says, Jesus says, I'm anointed. I have a purpose. I'm the Christ. And I come to set the prisoner and the captive. What's the difference? A prisoner deserves prison because of a bad behavior. A captive gets in prison because of somebody else's bad behavior. So not only does he heal the abuser, he heals the abused. That's why he's the Christ. And there's no excuse to walk around as a victim any longer. There's no excuse when you have the anointed one, the Christ in us.
Yes.
I'm telling you, God is about to break forth again in a fresh way upon the body of Christ and introduce again to the body of Christ who Christ really is.
Yes.
And he's going to do it through us.
Yes.
Stand to your feet. If there is any sick among you, let them call the elders. Ask the elders to pray the prayer of faith and release healing. Is there any sick among us today? Okay. If you're double-minded and you need a new mind. Just kidding. What am I saying? It's time for the body to heal the body. I don't know what you got out of this message. I know what I personally have gotten out of this message. I think I'm falling in love with Jesus more than I am the ministry. And we know it's supposed to be. There was an interview of a couple that had been married 67 years, and the person interviewing him says, you know, what is your secret? You two stay in marriage 67 years. She says, no, it's simple. We just never fell out of love with each other at the same time. That's called life. It's called life. And if you've been married for any length of time, you figure that out. But you know, if he is your bridegroom, you are his bride. How's your marriage?
How's your marriage? I hope if I've done anything today, I've provoked you as much as Gary provoked me. But we're on a new trajectory. I believe God Himself is breathing on us to embrace Him of who He truly is. If you need salvation, He'll embrace Him as a Savior. If you need healing, embrace Him as a healer. If you're lonely and need a friend, embrace Him as a friend. All of those things will come through the power of the Holy Spirit. Put your hand over your heart. Say, Jesus, I thank you for what you accomplished. But it's never really been about you. Because you said you were going to send Him. The Holy Spirit. Because the Father said so. In the Old Testament, they would refer to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I have all three in me, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And I'm going to give the Holy Spirit His rightful place this day on. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages, read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.